Lord God, we thank you for your Holy Spirit in us. Whether it's for the kids upstairs with Oksana and Matthew during the kids ministry, and me as I share the word that you put in my heart. But ultimately, it is you who is working in each one of us, and you are the one that using us, Lord God. Let me be your empty vessel and carry your truth and your words. And I pray for Oksana and Matthew also. And we pray for your kingdom come, your will be done in each one of us. Speak to us, Lord God. Teach us, Lord God. Encourage us, Lord God. Pray that in Jesus' name. Amen. So, the message I have today is of Rahab. I think before the back in July, I've been going a series of the promised land. God has given Israel a promise, a land of many, many promises through Abraham. And at this time, it was Joshua who's the one that leading the people through the wilderness, over the river, and God parted the river for them again, the second time. And they were going on to the promised land. And before they possessed the promised land, Joshua actually sent two spies into Jericho. So in this chapter, in the book of Joshua, in chapter 2, we saw this lady, Rahab. It's a very short chapter about her life, about her. But she was mentioned in the Old Testament, but she also mentioned in the New Testament. Even though it's not a lot about her, but within just reading those lines, we actually see the beautiful gospel, God's nature through her life, through somebody who chose to believe in God and what God did for her. So let me just recap a bit of the story. So Joshua sent two spies into Jericho. Jericho has a great big wall. It's a city that is a strong city. And the two spies went in, and they end up staying with this woman called Rahab. And then the people within that, the rulers, were trying to capture the two spies. And the king heard about the two spies was in Rahab's house. And Rahab just turned around and said, no, they're not here. They were here, but they're gone now. They're gone this way. So within that situation, we see Rahab, somebody who's in the city, who's already in the promised land, but she doesn't know God. But this is what she said to the spies when she decided she's going to help the spies instead of the people that she had known all her lives. She chose to help the people that she have heard about this God. That was from 40 years ago. If you really think about it, you've only heard about the story of this God and this people who have followed this God. You're actually really stepping out of your comfort zone. And she chose to help them. And this is what she said. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt and what you did to the two kings of Amorites who were beyond the Jordan to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted. And there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in the heavens above and on the earth beneath. Now then, please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and my sisters and all who belong to them and deliver our lives from death. This is what she said to the two spies. from just that passage. She's recounting how the city, the people in the city, are fearful of the Israelites, of something that God did 40 years ago, when God delivered them out of Egypt. And out of their unbelief of God, they end up wandering in the wilderness for 40 years. So they have been, it's almost like this city of people have been living in fear of this group of people coming to attack them. And now they're coming. They're on the edge of it. And Rahab said, I'm going to help you, but please, would you help my family also? That really revealed to me somebody who actually doesn't really know God, but have heard about him, but said, your God is the God of heaven, and the God who is the heaven and on the earth beneath. Instead of the other people in her city with fear of what these people and their God is going to do to them, she actually put fear in the right place and said, you have a God that I'd rather fear, but I'm going to depend upon. This is a fear. There is a Bible verse that fear the Lord is the beginning of wisdom and give us knowledge. Now, these people fear God and fear the Israelites, but they didn't choose, they didn't know what to do with that fear. Whereas Rahab, that one woman, in the Bible, it repeatedly say that Rahab, the prostitute. I'm glad we don't have the kids here, in case you have to explain what is a prostitute. The fact that we're using the word prostitute in the church. But the Bible repeatedly said Rahab the prostitute, even in the New Testament. But God was actually emphasizing of her faith, of her actually choice, that she understand what does it mean to put that fear in the right place. She chose to follow God. She chose to say, I don't want to follow my people. They were dependent on their strong walls to protect them. They're dependent on their strength to protect themselves. But Rahab said, no, I'm going to change to your side. And she said, I need you to protect me. I need you to make me a promise, as I am dealing kindly with you, protecting you for my people. You were the one that protect my family. And Joshua and the spy promised. So we see of an understanding of when we actually heard about God, when we say, Lord, I've seen the testimony of God's hands in your life, in these people's lives, of what God has done for these people and that people. What if when I choose to believe and follow, that this God will also protect me. This God will also be my God. I just see that as a gospel message. That we can actually see somebody else's God became our God. Before I came to really walk with God, this God was just somebody else's God. God would do this for them. But until I come to this relationship with God, this God became my God. And this God will protect me. And that's putting this fear in the right place. And another thing is, Rahab didn't have any good earthly reputation being a prostitute. It doesn't matter where it's a few thousand years ago or today. It doesn't matter which countries or nations or whatever culture. Being a prostitute is not something that anybody's proud of. If you ask somebody there, oh, what do? You can say doctors, nurse, or teachers, lawyers, whatever. People will say, oh, you make a good living. Great. But nobody will actually stand proudly and say, being a prostitute. So she doesn't actually understand what does this mean to have a good reputation. But that same person that didn't have a good reputation is the same person that actually understand God's reputation. She was the one that actually turned around and say, we heard about your God and what your God did for your people. And from that place, she actually say, save me, save my family. I know what your God did for you out of Egypt. You're going to do the same thing here in this city. I need you to make me a promise that my family will be safe. She understand God's reputation, that the city has been talking about it for 40 years. Everybody's heart melted. They were in fear, but they didn't turn to God. But Rahab did. And another thing is, in the New Testament, it say about by faith. In James, it said, in the same way was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. We have faith in God, but this is faith in action. Rahab has faith. She just actually, it takes a lot of guts to actually say to her people, her king, and lie to them, and to save the two spies. It takes a lot of guts. I don't know what I would do in that situation. Apart from God, it might be a lot of fear. But yet, she trusted the unknown against everything that was familiar to her. I'm sure she had lived all her life in that city. I'm sure she doesn't know anything outside of the city. She doesn't know what it's like away from her people. She lived within the wall. It is something that she really taken hold of. She's trusting something that unknown. For all she knows, the two spies might not be able to protect her. She made them promise, but she might not understand, is there a guarantee? What is God going to do? How are they going to protect them? But she have chosen to trust first. She have chosen to act first. She didn't wait until they have proved it themselves and taken them out of the city to protect them, her family first. She have actually acted in by faith. And the two spies say, yes, if you hang this scarlet red cord outside of the window, when we see that, that will be a symbol, that will be a sign. And her family was saved. All the families, her brothers, her father, her mother, her sisters, all the one that belongs to their families. She had put in a lot of trust in that piece of scarlet cord. And that really is a picture of us. Almost the scarlet cord is like Christ Jesus, the cross. When we put our trust in Jesus. They have the sign of the scarlet cord, and we have our Lord Jesus. When we gave our life to him, the Holy Spirit indwell in us, that peace that come with us. And a lot of the time it actually does take faith in actions. Speak like our Geraldine would say, when we surrender our lives to God, we can lift our hands. When we say we worship, we lift up our hands. It might be just a sign. Or when two people agree to get married, they say they're going to live. They're going to share their life together. The two become one. They have a wedding ceremony. The wedding is not a promise that everything going to be great. I know in fairy tale story, they live happily ever after. But in marriages, we know it's going to be ups and downs. It's going to have disagreements. But yet, that wedding, the day that they say to each other, they promise that they will love each other. And this is the same thing. When we step out in faith, we don't know what is behind. We don't know what is going to be ahead of us. We don't know how our life will plan out. But as we step out in faith, we are saying, Lord, I'm going to trust my life in your hands, that you're going to be with me every day of my life, because that is your promise, that you promise you will never leave me or forsake me. And that is the faith that Rahab has. She trusted first. She acted first. And then she saw the result of it. Her family were all saved. Her family were all saved. The war came down. God brought the wars down. It wasn't because the Israelites were so mighty and strong with their big cannon and they're playing with the missile. They marched around the walls. That will be in the following chapters, maybe another preaching. But they marched around the walls. Naturally, if we walk around the wall, nothing will come down. Maybe Lego walls. But not a real wars, not a wars of a city. Only God can bring that wars down. And God did that. And Rahab's family, they all gathered in her place. The spy said, everybody who stay in your place will be safe. Anybody out of the threshold, we can't guarantee that. So I can only just imagine that portion of the wall was the only part of the wall that stayed up. Only God can do that. And God did it for Rahab. And all her family was saved. And that is the God that made the, when he said he will protect us, when we trust in him, he is our savior. And I just love this story of the salvation and the gospel of when we place our trust in him. And then afterwards, Rahab lived with them. In chapter 6, it said, but in the New Testament, her name came up in Matthew. Matthew chapter 5, chapter 1, verse 5. Which is in actually part of Jesus' genealogy. Let me see that. Matthew. Let me see. Matthew 1, verse 5. So now there's a whole load of names. And it's all the names that lead down to Jesus. But in the middle of it, we have Salmon begot Boaz by Rahab. Boaz begot Obed by Ruth. Obed begot Jesse. And Jesse begot David the king. We have this woman who is a foreign woman. But she was also a prostitute. But was she, as she became part of this group of people, the Israelites. Thank you so much. We saw her name in Matthew, the book of Matthew. That she's actually the great grandmother of King David. But she's also the ancestor of Jesus. She played that such a strong, significant part in the history of Israel. And when she had given her life to God, when she had taken that step of faith, that's a restoration and transformation. And we see the Bible said that when we have given our lives to him, all the things that were in our past are forgotten and forgiven. Isn't that the most beautiful things to think about? There are lots of promises in the Bible said about God forgave our sins. And God forgive our sins. What does it mean to be a prostitute? Imagine the shame of it. And in Hebrews it said, I will remember their sins and their lawless deed no more. Where there is forgiveness of this, there is no longer any suffering for any offering for sin. What about in Isaiah 61, verse 7? Instead of your shame, there shall be a double portion. There is a double portion for Rahab. She was living in the promised land without God, and she was a prostitute. It doesn't matter how beautiful that land is, how much milk and honey was flowing out of it. She didn't benefit from it. She didn't receive blessing from it, living in that land without God. But her and her family were the only one that got to stay on that land when all her people perished because God has destroyed them all. And now she get to receive the blessing of the land because of God. That's just the most beautiful and mind-boggling things for me to think how important it is our faith as we trusted in Him and how much blessing that we get from God instead of shame. When I was reading even in the New Testament, every time it mentioned Rahab's name, every time it say Rahab the prostitute. And I'm thinking of like, wow, if somebody has a believer who was a prostitute, come in the church and we call that person's name every time, and then you keep thinking about the prostitute. That would be a really horrible thing to do. But imagine you're reading the Bible all these thousands of years later. Every time we read that portion, we still say, Rahab the prostitute. Is that because to bring shame? Or is it because God is saying, I can give back. I could remove the shame. It doesn't matter what your life was like before. If the Bible did not mention what her occupation was before, we would just think that she was like anybody else. It wouldn't have the same impact of understanding this person, her life was like this before. In the darkness, without hope. But now, when she have given her life to God, her life is transformed. So much so that God actually can use her to the point that she was actually part of Jesus' genealogy. And that's the testimony for each one of us when we give our life to Jesus. We don't know the impact that we can make for the people around us. For her, she impacted her whole family, everybody. I'm sure everybody she invited, if they were willing to come into her house and trusted in her, her word said, if you come to my house, you'll be safe. It wasn't just her generations, but actually it carried over generation after generation to the point that we hold on to Jesus. How great is that impact? And we don't know, each one of us, the impact that we will make. We might not even see it. It might be one of our great, great, great grandchildren who will do something that amazing for God. Unless if Jesus come back first. But we don't know. But we all have that impact. It might not be our biological children, but it could be somebody that we speak to on the street. Somebody in our neighborhood. And they will live a life, normal life. They follow the Lord. But their children might be the one that going to missionary somewhere and impact thousands of people. We don't know. But our focus is only just God and ourselves. My God, our God. Each day when we wake up, our God. And whatever we sow today, we will trust God that He's going to be the one that bear the fruit for us. And one of the things is, nobody can take away Rahab's shame. Only God can do that. If somebody is carrying a lot of shame from their past, only God can remove that shame. Only God can deliver them. Only God can repay you back and say, I forget them. I don't remember them. I choose not to remember them. You are forgiven. You do not have to carry that shame because it does not belong to you. When you've given your life to Jesus, the shame and the guilt and the fear, any of those things do not belong to us. We have no right to hold on to them. The only reason we will still carry those shames is because we chose to hold on to them. And God is saying, when I was preparing it, the words, Rahab the prostitute, keep coming back to me. Maybe God is saying somebody, someone, or us, we feel that shame. And God is saying, don't hold on to it. Turn your back. Turn to me. Turn to God. Turn to Jesus. Instead of shame, He's going to give us double portion. Do not hold on to the past. They do not belong to us. Just like the walls come down in Jericho. When the walls come down, Rahab can't live in that walls anymore. She can't live in that ruin anymore. She has to get out of that place to be part of the people that God has set her foot to be absorbed into the rest of God's people. She does not have to stay in that place and carry on her occupation. So just like each one of us, when we're given our life to Jesus, God has forgiven us. We do not have to carry the past of shame. We have that choice and we have that freedom. And God is saying, take that. This is a gift to you. This is your promise. This is the promised land while we're on earth. We don't have to wait until we go to heaven. We can have that peace today. We can have that joy today. Just like the dance that Renee and Sonia did just now. It was beautiful. There are a choice we make as we dance for the Lord. There's a choice to make when we worship our Lord. When we keep carrying the shame and the guilt from the past, our focus is on ourselves. In our focus on our mistakes, our focus is on the past. When we carry those, our focus, we do not keep our focus on God anymore. And that would not be worship. God deserves all our worship because He loves us. And He took all the guilt and the shame on the cross. Let us give that to Him. And let us worship Him because He wants us. He wants all of us. He wants our whole heart, mind, our body, our soul to worship Him. Give Him all the things that do not belong to us when He has already taken care of it on the cross. Let us pray. And if you really feel you have something that is so heavy, weighing you down, just think of it as the wall of Jericho came down. Think of it. God can bring it down. And we don't have to stay in that wall anymore. Lord God, we thank you so much of your love. We thank you so much of your strength. And your power, just as you were the God for the Israelites, and you took them out of Egypt, and you brought down the walls of Jericho. Lord God, we give you those walls that has, may have penned us in and put us to shame. Lord God, we hand to you, Lord God. Would you guide us as we trust in you? Just as Rahab put out a scarlet cord as a sign of her faith, we put our hands to you and say, Lord God, take us. Take us, Lord God, that we will walk in your promises of peace and joy, and to know who you are and to know who we are through you. Lord God, we don't want to live lives in our own strength. We don't want to hold on to the wall and dependent on the wall to protect us. We only want to know you. Take down those walls for us, Lord God. We praise you and we glorify your name. And we pray for blessing for each one of us here. Holy Spirit, continue to work in our hearts. Do your work in us, Lord God, each day as we do our devotional, as we spend time with you, as we worship you. You are a mighty God and we worship you with our hearts, with our mind, with our strength, all our strength. And we thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen.